Good afternoon. Members of the Security Council just received a briefing from Special Representative Leone on the situation in Libya and the UN's efforts to secure an immediate and durable negotiated ceasefire. I'd like to start by reading out press elements agreed to by all members of the Security Council in consultation today. Members of the Security Council express their grave concern about the current political crisis and ongoing violence in Libya. Members of the Security Council strongly support SRSG Leone's effort to foster an inclusive political dialogue and bring an end to violence. It is critical that the entire international community support this process and refrain from any steps, including supporting actors inside Libya, which would undermine these efforts, especially through the illicit transfer of weapons or other support to armed groups. Members of the Security Council reiterate their call, to end the violence immediately and enable the continuation of the political transition, particularly through a ceasefire in the Werfashana area, as well as in Benghazi and other parts of the country. Members of the Security Council also reiterate their support for legitimate constitutional institutions. Resolution 2174 is vital to the effective implementation of the arms embargo, and it makes clear the Council will take action against individuals or entities that threaten Libya's peace and stability. The Council members also condemned any attempts to illicitly export oil per Resolution 2146. Members of the Security Council are also concerned about the harsh toll the crisis has taken on civilians, with around 300,000 who are displaced or have fled the country due to the violence. We support the efforts of the UN humanitarian agencies, which are now assisting the displaced and conflict-affected populations. Members of the Security Council commend Libya's neighbors for welcoming those seeking refuge and call on all countries in the region to maintain open borders for all those in need. They also stress the importance that all parties respect and protect the human rights of all Libyans and express their concern about the conditions of migrants and foreigners in Libya and any violation of their human rights. In my national capacity, let me just say that the United States is very concerned about the ongoing violence and political instability in Libya, and let me stress that the parties need to engage in dialogue and a political solution is the only way forward. We are fully supportive of SRSG Leone and his efforts to forge a political dialogue and help end the violence, especially through a ceasefire in the Werfashana area. Also, the international community must be supportive of these efforts. We are concerned about the harsh toll the crisis has taken on civilians, with more than 250,000 displaced or fleeing the country due to the violence. Libyans also suffer shortages in food, fuel, water, electricity, and they face an alarming rise in crime. We're in constant communication with UN humanitarian agencies, which are assisting displaced and conflict-affected populations. We commend Libya's neighbors for welcoming those seeking refuge and call on all countries in the region to maintain open borders for all those in need. Now, I'd just like to touch on a couple other issues before opening it up. First, today is an important day for the people of the Central African Republic as the new UN peacekeeping mission, MINUSCA, formally takes over responsibility for the protection of civilians. This transition represents an opportunity to make further progress in ending the violence plaguing the country and helping Central Africans translate their desire for change into positive action. We welcome the standing up of MINUSCA and affirm our support for the operation. We also deeply appreciate the courage and sacrifice of the AU troops as well as the French and European Union forces, all of whom have been critical to the peace-building efforts that have led to today. Today's transition is the next step in what must be a deepening commitment to protecting civilians, facilitating humanitarian assistance, and supporting an inclusive democratic political transition that includes holding to account those who have committed gross violations of human rights. Success depends in part on MINUSCA operating at its full authorized troop complement. We call on the United Nations to redouble efforts to ensure the full deployment of MINUSCA's military, police, and civilian staff as quickly as possible, and ensure the mission has the adequate equipment and transportation it needs to carry out its mandate. We thank those countries that have provided troops and police to MINUSCA. Finally, members of the Security Council, as you saw, adopted a 3-month technical rollover of the UNMIL mandate, which will give us some time to assess the difficult situation in Liberia. As you know, Liberia is one of 3 West African countries ravaged by the recent and growing Ebola outbreak. I won't mince words. The situation on the ground is dire and growing worse by the day. Most of you heard Special Representative Karen Langren's account of the situation last week. The trend lines in this crisis are grave. And without immediate international action, we are facing the potential for a public health crisis that could claim lives on a scale far greater than current estimates and set the countries of West Africa back a generation. Because of the increasingly grim situation, particularly in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, the United States has requested an emergency meeting of the Security Council this Thursday, September 18th. I don't need to tell any of you how unusual Security Council debates on public health issues and public health crises are, but at this moment, it is crucial that Council members discuss the status of the epidemic, confer on a coordinated international response, and begin the process of marshaling our collective resources to stop the spread of the disease. Later this afternoon, in fact, when I leave you, the United States will host a briefing for representatives on the status of the outbreak. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention Director Tom Frieden, United Nations Deputy Secretary General Jan Eliasson, and the PRs of Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Nigeria will also participate in this briefing. We will try to get you all a similar briefing prior to Thursday's Council session. This is a perilous crisis, but one that we can contain if the international community comes together to meet it head on. This outbreak is controllable, Ebola is treatable, and victims can survive. Anything short of our full collective commitment could have grave and destabilizing public health, humanitarian, economic, and security consequences, which could reach far beyond the borders of Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. We can contain this. We know how to do it, and we must avoid panic and fear. But our collective response to date has not been sufficient. We must move forward aggressively in a coordinated fashion and together. And with that, I'll take a few questions.
Thank you, Madam Ambassador. First, could you tell us a little bit about the details of this emergency meeting? Who's going to brief? Are you expecting some kind of an outcome document? And secondly, as I'm sure you heard, the United Nations has withdrawn a large number of peacekeepers from the Golan Heights because of the intensified fighting on the Syrian side. This has led to speculation that this mission might end, that the Council might change the mandate. Could you address that?
Thank you. First, on the Ebola session, right now it is scheduled for 2:45 p.m. on Thursday. The Secretary General is going to brief on this urgent crisis, along with, we think, Margaret Chen of the WHO and David Nabarro, the special envoy. We are also hoping to bring into the Council, as we generally seek to do in our presidency, voices or at least a voice from the field, so we really hear directly from the people who are being most affected by this crisis. And I hope to have more specifics on that for you within the next day. All of the ambassadors from the affected countries, of course, have expressed their great desire to speak in order to appeal to the international community to come to their rescue. And we have asked that this be an open debate and that countries who are part of the UN community come to this session with an eye to making very concrete commitments in their presentations. I say that because it would be very easy to have all the member states of the United Nations come to the Security Council and lament the tragedy of Ebola, but that is not going to get us where we need to get. We cannot admire this problem. It is too devastating for too many already, and the risks of spread and exponential increase in infections is too great. So we are looking for concrete commitments. President Obama is traveling to the CDC tomorrow. You will hear more from him. But we are asking every country in advance of this session, on behalf, again, of our friends in the region, to dig deep and see what they can mobilize in short order to help respond to this crisis. On UNDOF, I'm aware of the reports, I've seen the same reports you have, would only take this occasion to urge all parties to respect the mission of UNDOF, the personnel, the equipment, and of course we condemn any overrunning of UNDOF facilities. We understand the measure of pulling back is temporary, and we would also urge UNDOF to reoccupy those positions as soon as that becomes feasible.
Ambassador, a question for you to answer your national capacity. The administration has been very clear that there will be no coordination with the Assad regime should there be airstrikes, et cetera, taken place. And also the administration has been very clear that any action will have international legal basis. Now, considering that if you are not coordinating with the government, what kind of basis would that be? Does that require a Security Council resolution or any sort of recommendation by the Secretary General under Article 51 would suffice? Can you elaborate?
Because no military action against ISIL in Syria has been taken, I'm not going to speculate on the legal basis. I would only come back to points that you've heard me make before, and I think which are well known, which is the widespread support for anti-ISIL operations around the world, the large number of contributions, whether of a military kind, in terms of humanitarian support, in terms of military equipment and resupply for the Iraqis and the Kurds. And I would refer you to Prime Minister Abadi's statement last week, where he also made clear his belief that dealing with ISIL only in Iraq is going to be insufficient to neutralizing this threat and insufficient to Iraq being able to ensure the security and the welfare of their people. So you heard the President last week talk about the fact that ISIL cannot be allowed a safe area. You've heard the Iraqis again appeal for action that deals with ISIL in its totality. But I'm not going to get ahead of the United States government in terms of where we are on next steps.
Thank you.
And apologies, I'm actually running to the CDC briefing, or I would stay longer. Thank you.